Well, let's go over, I'm just going to quickly review our points from our last class. Our class scripture, Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, as we're just talking about. Praise is the key to the supernatural realms of God, as we were talking about at our last class. It's the gateway to his presence. We are going to where he is. We are entering into his realm, the supernatural realm, the spiritual realms of God. We are going to him. We are being impacted and changed. The purpose of this class is develop and enjoy daily praise time with God. I'd say it's working. You guys are enjoying daily praise time with God. We all are. That we are on a praise journey of pursuing intimacy with God together, all of us together. It's so wonderful we can share the testimonies, and because worship is the beginning of intimacy. There's a purpose to it. It's not just an end in itself. We're going places with God. We're on a journey. We're going somewhere. We want to get to where he has for us to go, and each day is a new day of praising and worshiping him. As we talked about also last time, in the Bible, praise is closely connected to music. Sometimes we're just speaking out praise, but a lot of times we're supposed to be singing praise. Over 280 times we are commanded to sing. So it seems to be an important thing to God. God created music. He created us with the ability to sing. We're the only creatures besides angels that can sing. He created each one of us to be a worshiper. Each one of us is an individual. It doesn't matter what we sound like. Our voice is beautiful to God. He wants to hear it lifted up in praise to him. He lives in an atmosphere of praise constantly in heaven. That's where he dwells. So we're becoming part of that when we are entering in and praising him also down here on earth. Remember that the Lord's Prayer begins and ends with praise. And he says for us to pray that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So whatever's going on in heaven is what we want to happen on earth. And that's praise. All the heavenly beings are praising God in heaven right now. We learned the difference between the two terms, general terms, praise. Praise means to declare or to bless. We are thanking God for his attributes, his character, and his deeds. We're thanking him for what he has done when we are praising him. And when we're singing songs, you know, just the generic term, praise songs is usually the fast, upbeat songs. Then we talked about worship, his proskuneo. That's a Greek word that means to kiss towards, and it conveys the word of bowing down, reverencing, prostrating ourselves. In worship, we are thanking him for who he is. And I'm going through these things quickly because these are the things I gave you last time, and this is just review. So we're thanking him for who he is. And in our songs that we sing, they're usually the slower, more intimate songs. We also talked about the benefit of praising God in tongues, building ourselves up in our most holy faith from Jude, verse 20. We are praying in the Holy Spirit. It is a supernatural exchange. As we're praising God, we are getting built up too. So now I'm going to go on and start with what we're going to learn today. There are benefits to us in praising God. Benefits to us when we praise God, besides that he has commanded us to praise him and desires us to praise him and wants us to praise him. So I'm just going to give you some numbers. Number one. Praise keeps our attention focused on God. Our attention becomes focused on God. When we start the day, first thing, praising him, before any negativity, any negative thoughts can come in, that changes the direction of our day. It changes the course of our day. Because our natural minds, especially if we've gone to bed with a lot of stuff on our mind and we've had a difficult day the day before, we have cares and concerns like we all do. It's just natural for us to wake up and start thinking about him and our minds working on him and everything like that. But if the first thing that comes out of our mouths is praise you, Lord, or whatever, speaking in tongues, a word that has to do, declaring praise to God, of course, if we keep doing it too, that's going to help too. So I have read wonderful testimonies of people who don't even get out of bed until they have just spent time praising the Lord. And I have also tried it. I've shared with you about my summer with the Lord, the awesome time that I had, and I really spent a lot of time doing that because I couldn't get out of bed. So I was right there and I had to stay in bed, just lying there and just praising him. And it's just like you have started the day the best way that we can when we do that. We are learning to live in the praises of God. We are practicing praising God. Praise encourages our hearts. This is still under keeping our attention focused on God. Praise encourages our hearts. It says in Nehemiah 8:10 that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We all need strength. We need strength in the days to come. We need strength today and for the future. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And as we're praising Him, joy is welling up within us. We are exchanging the negative atmosphere around us. When we're with other people that are speaking out negative things, we can be praising God under our breath. We can speak it in tongues, and we're changing that atmosphere. Number two, praise changes the spiritual atmosphere of your home. Praise changes the spiritual atmosphere of your home. Frequently, before guests arrive especially, we like to put on praise CD, praise and worship CD. We may walk around the house and just start praising God or speaking in tongues, especially if someone's going to be coming over that maybe has a negative spirit. We all have people like that in our lives. They come in, they come through the door, and the first thing they're saying as they come through is everything wrong or everything that's happened to them or everything that's wrong with them or all their health problems and issues and things like that. We all have people like that in our lives. And, of course, we want them to be impacted when they come into our home by the presence of the Lord. So let's fill our houses with praises, have the music on, just, you know, spend 5 minutes before people come, and it really does make an impact. I wanted to share a dream I had or an experience that I had with you, praise changing the spiritual atmosphere of our home. The week after I had my foot surgery this summer, I was in bed with my foot propped up on like 5 pillows, and it was at night. I was in bed, and in our bedroom, we have on this side of me, we have the door to the hall. So it's just our bedroom door that goes to the hall. On this side of the room, we have a sliding glass door that goes to the backyard. So we have 2 doors on our bedroom. It was about midnight, and I turned out the light, and I just had such a wonderful day with the Lord. Praise was just bubbling up within me and bubbling out of me. So I said out loud in the room, I turned out the lights, I was lying there, and I said out loud in the room, I said, I am going to fill this room and this house with praise. I just felt inspired to say it, and I didn't just think it, I wanted to say it out loud. As I said that, I felt a leap in my spirit, like I've never had this happen before, but it was like a presence of an angel was in the room. It was just so, I didn't see anything or anything like that. I just felt a spiritual presence. Angels are coming from the presence of God, and I felt that spiritual presence of the Lord. And I believe that an angel was there in our room. At the same time, or right after that, I also felt this uneasy feeling that an intruder was going to come through our bedroom door from the hall, from the rest of the house, not from the outside door. And so I felt that I was alert spiritually to 2 different spiritual realms going on. As I'd begun to praise God and I was just filling the room and the house with praise, I became aware of what was going on in the spirit. My spirit was alert. So I had the presence of an angel, presence of a negative, fearful feeling. We know where that is from. But I just kept praising God. I praised Him in tongues. I spent times just speaking the word. I went through the 7 I Ams of Jesus from the book of John, which I just absolutely love. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the bread of life. I am the vine. You are the branches. I am the good shepherd. All those things. I mean, oh boy, I was just spiritually built up after I'd said all of that. I was so excited. But I was able to go to sleep, and I was still aware of the 2 presences, and I just went to sleep, praising God. It was wonderful. About 4 a.m., so about 4 hours later, I woke up, and I'd had a dream. In the dream, I was in a house, and I was in a room, and there was a sliding glass door in this room. And I was facing it, and I could see outside the big glass door was a woman that was wearing a weird hat, and she was kind of elderly, and she looked kind of like she was mentally disturbed, and her eyes were wild, and she was mumbling, and she was coming up to the door, this glass door, and she was looking in, and her eyes were looking in, and as I walked toward her, she saw me, and she was afraid, and she ran away. So then she ran toward a room that was on the other side of the wall, the room where I was, and as I walked around, and I walked toward that room, I could hear her trying to get in another sliding glass door in the other room. And I could hear the screen door keep opening and closing, and opening and closing. And as I got to the other room, I found out that the back door was wide open, but the screen door was closed. And she was sprawled out on a step in the back, on the back step, and she had her face down. She looked like, you know, she'd been knocked out. You know, she was down for the count. She was out. She's not moving. The last thing I felt in the dream was that the authorities were going to come and take her away. That was what I felt. So that was the dream. So after I woke up, I thought, you know what? I wonder if our back door, sliding glass door, is unlocked. Over the years, Joe is my witness, over the years I've had dreams that a door in our house is unlocked that goes to the outside, and I wake up, I go and check that door, it's unlocked. I feel it's God alerting us, alerting me that we want to be protected and safe, don't we, when we are going to sleep at night? We don't want to leave doors unlocked. Joe was awake, and he went and checked the door, and sure enough, it was unlocked. Our door, our sliding glass door to the backyard, was unlocked in real life. So this is what I feel that there was the meaning of this, of the dream was. There was a dual meaning. First, there was a natural meaning, and the natural meaning of the dream, of course, is that I sure appreciate when God wakes me up or gives me a dream, tells me my door is unlocked, because we know that things can happen in the natural, and we want to be diligent, and we want to be alert to keep our home and family safe from intruders and the evil plans of the enemy in the natural. He uses people, doesn't he, to do his dirty work. We've all known people that have been injured or harmed in the natural. The spiritual meaning, I feel, is that we have spiritual weapons. We have spiritual weapons, and we're to utilize our spiritual weapons of praise, speaking in tongues, speaking the word. And we're also to be alert to the Holy Spirit speaking through dreams and having an unsettled feeling in the spirit, being alert spiritually. And as we're praising God, we're going into his realms, the spiritual realms, and so we're being alerted spiritually to what's going on around us, whether it's for good or whether it's for evil, whether it's for God's kingdom or the enemy's kingdom. So we want to be alert spiritually to the spirit world around us to keep us, ourselves and our families, safe from spiritual intruders that come into our houses, whether it's our body frequently. You know, we're called the temple of the Holy Spirit, aren't we? And frequently in dreams, a house can either be our body or it can be our self, our spirit, our life, our ministry, our own house. Also, the other thing that was really apparent was that God is, we have guardian angels, don't we? God has dispatched angels to protect us. I believe there were angels protecting us that night from any spiritual intruders, and that praise and worship, filling the room in the house with praise, was the protective barrier. I believe that that protected us in the natural, and it protects us in the spiritual. And I feel God was illustrating that. You know, dreams are, they're pictures, aren't they? Pictures worth a thousand words. And we can hear many sermons, which are absolutely wonderful. We get a lot out of them. But if we see a picture that illustrates the sermon, we can go places with that, because Jesus was always illustrating things for people, so that utilizing the things around him, dreams are like night parables. You know, Jesus was always telling stories and parables, and that's what our dreams are frequently. Not all dreams are to illustrate that, but frequently they are. So that all had to do with the point of changing the spiritual atmosphere of our home. It can protect us. Praising God can fill our house and our rooms with praise, alert us to what's going on in the spiritual. Number three, praise keeps our emotions in line with God's word and stabilizes them. Now, these points, many of what I'm saying are things from your textbook, The Untapped Power in Praise by Ken Hagin. Praise keeps our emotions in line with God's word and stabilizes them. So we've talked about we're body, soul, and spirit, and in our soul is our emotions, our mind, and our will. And so when our spirit is built up by praising God, our emotions are also going to benefit from it, as our body will also. So because we are, you know, three parts. Praise replaces hopelessness with hope. I love that. Praise replaces hopelessness with hope. It helps us to stay in faith. You know, we're speaking out God's goodness. We're telling him wonderful things about him. We're talking about things he's done for us in the past. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for helping me sell my house. Thank you, Lord, for protecting my child. Thank you, Lord, for this. And so we're declaring things that he's done for us. It helps build up our faith for the future, yes, for things, yes, he's going to do for us, and that we're trusting him to do for us, that we're having faith for him to do for us. So it stimulates and invigorates faith. Praise stimulates and invigorates faith. We're still on number four. And this is a quote from Ken Hagin. He says, praise creates an atmosphere and prepares hearts to receive from God. Whether we're by ourselves or we're in a church service, that's why we start out our church services with praise and worship. We're creating an atmosphere that is conducive to God working in, the Holy Spirit to work in. That's what praise and worship. And we'll talk more about that in other classes about praise and worship in our church services. Number five, we praise God regardless of outward circumstances, which encourages us to have a grateful and giving heart. praising God regardless of outward circumstances encourages us to have a grateful and giving heart and keeps us from feeling sorry for ourselves because our focus isn't on us anymore. I'll read that again. Praising God regardless of outward circumstances encourages us to have a grateful and giving heart and keeps us from feeling sorry for ourselves. We can concentrate on all of our problems and think about it, but then when you think about someone from a third world country, you think how much better we have it, and we start thanking God for what we have. Like those of us that have a spouse and we have several children, we may have four cars. At least if we have a spouse, we may have two cars. And many people in third world countries have no cars. Their mode of transportation is walking everywhere. So, I mean, that's just an example. We already talked about number six is praise refreshes us physically. Praise refreshes us physically. Praising God, regardless of outward circumstances, encourages us to have a grateful and a giving heart and keeps us from feeling sorry for ourselves. I had told you that the last class that this summer when God, spending a lot of time with God, he was giving me different gems or nuggets to share with all of you. And one of them goes right along with this, and it is that this is exactly what I heard in my spirit, not audible voice, but in my spirit. And this is what I felt the Holy Spirit was saying. Thankfulness is attractive to the Holy Spirit. Do we want to be attractive to the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. Thankfulness is attractive to the Holy Spirit. And the next one is praise refreshes us physically. If you've ever been tired, worn out, you're driving home from work, you're feeling, you know, you maybe having a hard day, feeling a little beat up, or you've had, you know, other issues, it can refresh us physically just by offering that sacrifice of praise to God, whether you feel like it or not, you just start praising God. Number seven, praise helps us have a good night's sleep. Wow, a good night's sleep. That sounds wonderful. Good night's sleep. Praise yourself to sleep. And then the last one, number eight, is victory follows praise. Those three words, victory follows praise. Victory follows praise. And as you're writing that down, I'm going to read you from the book, a quote from Ken Hagin, who I really, really liked. Page 73. Page 73 of The Untapped Power and Praise. And this is what he says. Praise and defeat cannot live in the same house. Same house. Heartfelt words of praise to God will lift you up from defeat to victory. Praising God will deliver you from sickness to health, from despair to joy, and from bondage to liberty. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that encouraging? He goes on. Why does praise lift us up to new heights in God? Because praise is the language of faith. I love that. Praise is the language of victory. Praise is the language of heaven. Isn't that awesome? Praise is the language of believing God with your heart and confessing him with your mouth in faith. You're confessing your faith to him with your mouth. The Bible says that whatever we believe in our hearts will eventually come out of our mouth. So when we're praising God, we're saying, we believe you. We believe that you're good. When I tell God he's good, I'm telling him I believe that he's good. And I love him. I'm telling him those things. So we're telling him things that are good, and we are. So praise, victory follows praise. So as we've been talking about pursuing God, we're pursuing God. We're pursuing intimacy with God. We're praising him, developing a life of praise. It's all, remember, it's praise and worship is just the beginning of intimacy with God. We are pursuing him ultimately. And he is actually pursuing us. It's a relationship of his heart and our hearts. It's a relationship of hearts. When you fall in love with someone, you get married, you love them from your heart, and they love you from their heart. It's not just having to love them, but you love them. God seems to really put a value on your whole heart, our whole hearts, wholeheartedly. That's used a lot, that term, wholeheartedly. I'm going to give you these scriptures, and you can just write down the reference, and then I will read what it says. John 4, 23 and 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. He's pursuing us. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. And you'll remember that the word worship is the word proskuneo. So God's looking for those who will kiss toward him. He's seeking them. Those are the kind of worshipers he wants and he desires. He's pursuing. 2 Chronicles 16:9. This is what it says. I love this verse. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth. It means, in Amplified, it says run to and fro throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him, wholeheartedly pursuing him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The next one is Jeremiah 29:13. Jeremiah 29:13. You can look these up and meditate on them this week if you would like. It says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart," wholeheartedly, all of your heart. We can ask God to help us and show us what that means. What does that mean to each one of us? How do we seek him with all of our heart? He will show each one of us individually how to do it. I've always loved the story of Joshua and Caleb, the two spies that came back with a good report. Children of Israel, the 10 spies, came back with a bad report. They were destroyed by a plague. Joshua and Caleb were able to be the only two over the age of 20 that were able to go into the promised land. Boy, talk about what you say. It has a big determination of what happens to you. Numbers 14:24. This is God saying this. This is a quote from God. This is what he said. "But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." Because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to. I think a great example of a wholehearted worshiper is David, King David. He had an incredible relationship with God. Most of the Psalms in the book of Psalms were written by him. Not all of them, but most of them were. And I believe he was a wholehearted worshiper of God, because Acts 13:22 says, "After removing Saul, he, God, made David their king," the Israelites' king. He removed Saul, who he was disappointed in, and God made David their king. And it says, "God testified concerning him," quote, "I have found David. I have found David." Sounds like he was seeking a worshiper, somebody who was going to follow him wholeheartedly. "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart." Hearts, relationship of hearts, isn't it? Wholeheartedly. Seeking him, you'll find him. Seek him with your whole heart. "My servant Caleb has a different spirit," so he's different. You have to be kind of different, don't we? And then just the run-of-the-mill folks. "And follows me wholeheartedly. I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." What an awesome promise. That was always a sign of God's blessing, if he brought you into a wonderful place and that your descendants were going to be able to stay there and live there and prosper. So that was an incredible blessing that God was giving to David. And of course, we know that Jesus came through his line. He established a covenant with David because David was a man after his own heart. I think I'm going to stop there because we are running out of time.